Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I have been looking into a lot of the current events that have been taking place, originally based on four major current events that were happening at the time when I started this a few months ago. But I keep coming back to these original current events that were happening then, because there's so many things that, you know, are extrapolated onto that. There's so many other extensions of that. Particularly, for instance, the second current event. The first one was the Parliament of World Religions, and so we looked at that as our examination of the one world religion that's being built as one of the factors, one of the building blocks, if you were, or as you will, excuse me, of building this foundation for the coming Antichrist's one world religion. And we're still looking at the foundation of the one world religion as we see Pope Francis and his moving all around the world. He's globe trotting, as they say, trotting the globe for the Catholic Church, but actually more for some of the ideas, the false ideas and false concepts that fit with others who are involved in false religion. And the Pope is not even popular with many in his own church, although no doubt many are. The times, they are a-changing, to be sure. But anyway, his embrace of Islam, we've been looking at in some of the major current events that have taken place in the last few months. But most recently, last week in my podcast, I shared about his joining with Mormon leaders as they're building a Mormon temple in Rome. Is that bizarre? I mean, I don't know. Am I the one that's strange here to think that that's strange? I don't think so. But anyway, we want to continue to look at some of these headlines, some of these articles concerning the news, current events. And this is another article, really, on the same event of the Pope meeting with the Mormons. And this is by Tad Walsh from the Deseret News. This is a Mormon newspaper, the Deseret News, and it's located in Utah, as I understand, I believe Salt Lake City. But anyway, the title is Pope Francis Meets with President Nelson in the Vatican. Pope Francis of the Roman Catholic Church and President Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints met today at the Vatican in the first ever face-to-face discussion between the heads of the two global churches. Wow. The differences in doctrine are real and they're important, President Nelson said afterward as he stood just outside St. Peter's Square, but they're not nearly as important as the things we have in common. Our concern for human suffering, the importance of religious liberty for all of society, and the importance of building bridges of friendship instead of building walls of segregation. And that first one, that our concern for human suffering, I mean, hey, you'll see what I mean as we go along in the social gospel. The two things that seem to link false religions so often these days are mystical experience and the social gospel, and the climate change, whole deal. But anyway, I digress. Let me move on in the article. The two world religious leaders shared a belief that faith in God brings morality and stability in society. Okay, which God? What God? Is it the Mormon God that, you know, runs planet Earth? Or, you know, is it the God of Catholicism? Which God are we talking about here? But anyway, so you see how vague that is? Anyway, President Russell Nelson, okay, he meets with Pope Francis. This was in March 9th, 2019. It says, the Pope extended the invitation for a private audience to the Latter-day Saint leader in conjunction with President Nelson's trip this weekend to Italy, where he will dedicate the history-making new Rome, Italy temple. That's a Mormon temple. The two men met for 30 to 35 minutes, and also discuss their mutual concern for the youth of, in their churches, their concern about secularization and the desire for people to worship God, President Nelson said. The Pope presented President Nelson with two gifts, his declarations on the family and on the Islamic faith. President Nelson gave the Pope a ladro figurine of the Christus statue and a copy of The Family, a proclamation to the world. All right. And the Pope and President Nelson embraced at the end of their time together. They gave each other a hug as we left that said everything, President Ballard said. President Nelson invited President Ballard, I didn't go into the all the details of who he is, and it's not really necessary, but so I'll just move on. President Nelson invited Pope Francis to Salt Lake City and to the Rome, Italy temple. He's a dear, wonderful, humble, competent, gracious man, President Nelson said. I respect him highly, and I would say that makes one of us. Now, that's my comment. Anyway, seeing how things have been run with you know, the pedophilia within the Catholic Church and all the other stuff. Elder De Theo called the meeting an historic event and said the two world religious leaders shared a respect for one another and their institutions. This is another part of the article here. After the meeting, the Latter-day Saint leaders smiled as they walked arm-in-arm down Via della Conciliazione, the Road of the Conciliation, to address a large media contingent with the iconic St. Peter's Basilica in the background. A visit between a pope and the man considered a prophet by millions of Latter-day Saints would have been unimaginable to leaders and members in both churches 50 years ago. Clandestine olive branches and decades of détente were necessary, according to sources from both faiths interviewed for this story. That is exactly what has happened. In fact, today's meeting is a culmination of a web of deepening and expanding alliances between the Latter-day Saints and the Roman Catholic Church and its many sister organizations. That growing relationship has intensified during the past decade, resulting in collaborations that now have the two churches working side by side all over the world on projects vast and tiny. And I'll mention some other projects that working with other groups that the Catholics have done in another article I have, a past article, or actually I commented on in the past. The Deseret News conducted more than 20 interviews with people from both faiths around the world, from Bosnia to Rome and from Salt Lake City to Norway, to provide a definitive look at how the church's combined efforts are not only helping to resolve differences between their own members, but delivering emergency humanitarian aid to some of the world's most vulnerable people, including many at the U.S.-Mexico border, as well as working to defend religious liberty and to bolster families. Do I hear the term social gospel ringing in my ears somewhere here? Okay, we explained to His Holiness that we work side by side, that we have projects with Catholic relief services all over the world in over 43 countries, President Ballard said. We've been shoulder to shoulder as partners and try to relieve suffering, trying to help people that are struggling. He was very interested in that and was very cordial, very kind to us. And I don't mean to take lightly that people want to help people who are suffering. You know, that's my comments. But remember, if you help people, if you can help people and keep them from suffering in this life, and you help open the door for them to end up in eternal hell, in the big picture, you're really not doing them a whole lot of good. You're relieving a little pain and suffering down here, but the false gospel that you're giving them is going to consign them to eternity in hell, you know, by their own choices of rejecting the truth, of which, you know, they're peddling a false gospel, a counterfeit gospel, of which we're warned about, because they come as angels of light doing all these good deeds and all. Okay, Rome and Salt Lake City. On Thursday, Catholics and Latter-day Saints indeed worked side by side to help the homeless and refugees in their respective headquarters, Rome and Salt Lake City. That appeared impossible in the 50s when, fearing their own congregations would be scandalized if church members knew they were meeting, the leader of the Latter-day Saints came to Salt Lake City's Holy Cross Hospital for conversations with the head of the Salt Lake City Catholic Diocese. This is another article from the Deseret News that's part of this major article I have here. President David O. McKay. Oh, I see. They're going back. Okay. All right. This is in the past. President David O. McKay would arrive under the guise of visiting a Latter-day Saint patient, then slip into the office of Bishop Duane Hunt. They used their private sessions to talk about community issues and the tensions between their members in Utah, said Monsignor Terence Fitzgerald, who has had a front row seat to the history of the two churches as a native Utahan ordained a Catholic priest in 1962. The Catholics were trying to get the Latter-day Saints not to badmouth the Catholics at every conference, he said. And the Latter-day Saints were trying to get the Catholics to put in a good word for them on the national level. In other words, just a whole lot of compromise going on here. 5 decades of change has been nothing short of drastic, Monsignor Fitzgerald added. In the 50s and early 60s, Catholics were under official instructions to limit interactions with other faiths. They were not to attend funerals or weddings in other churches. For example, Latter-day Saints heard similar instructions. Then the Vatican Council in 1963 and 64 opened the door to interfaith relationships. Leaders in both churches continued to work together, and the 1945 launch of Catholic Charities provided an opportunity for collaboration that would bring the church's organizations, members, and funds together in common purpose. We began to see that neither of the groups were the devil, and we could all join hands in the community, Monsignor Fitzgerald said. Well, I understand the way he's using that expression, that neither of the groups were the devil. What they don't understand is they're serving the devil because they're bringing a false gospel. They are coming as angels of light. And Paul warned us in 2 Corinthians chapter, I believe it's 12, of those who would come with a different gospel and a different Christ and a different spirit. So all of the good works and all the good deeds that people do, the reality is they're still serving the devil's purpose, because the devil is not in the business of bringing people to the real Jesus, to which these two groups are not serving. Anyway, those are my additions to what I'm reading in this article. As that recognition grew deep roots, detente turned into accelerated collaboration over the past decade as concern grew in both churches about worldwide secularization. Secularism is prevalent in many Western countries, and many people have lost their faith in Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saint presiding Bishop Gerald Causey said, and to have all Christian faiths join together and defend our values is important. Latter-day Saints comprise more than half of the volunteers at the St. Vincent de Paul Dining Hall, a homeless resource center operated by Catholic Community Services of Utah. On Thursday afternoon, a group from several Murray, Utah congregations prepared dinner. And let me just mention this. I'm so thankful that I'm involved in the food pantry at my church, where we share the gospel with people as we have opportunity, as we bring them food as they come. You know, we want them to not only have bread to eat physically, but we want them to have the bread of life. We want them to know Jesus Christ so they can have salvation, because that's the most important bread. That's the most important food. And I'm very much interested in helping people who are hungry, but I'm even more interested in bringing them the truth that will save their soul. So anyway, the article goes on to say, the soup kitchen was one of the initial joint efforts by the two churches. The Latter-day Saints committed themselves as we built St. Vincent de Paul in 1967, Monsignor Fitzgerald said. They provided much of the equipment. In fact, I'm not going to read any more of that. It says, I read comments online that complain that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints should be doing more for the homeless, but it does it quietly through established partners. No, their name isn't on a building down here, and they aren't talking about it, but they are a silent partner in every effort to help the homeless downtown. Okay, those that are complaining, you know. Anyway, move on. This is a pretty long article, so I'm going to keep moving here. Father Tom Smolich, the Vatican-based international director for the Jesuit Refugee Service, visited Salt Lake City in February when he thanked Latter-day Charities leaders for making the Jesuits a global partner. He also was one of the more than 50,000 people who attended the Rome, Italy Temple Open House in January and February. That was that last article that I read about last week, last podcast. Modeling civility. Pope Francis has said a church without charity does not exist, and the full international range of Catholic charities is staggering. In addition to Jesuit Refugee Service, another network of Catholic charitable organizations called Caritas spans 160 countries. Catholic Relief Services, the American Catholic Community's International Economic Development and Humanitarian Assistance Operation, is a vast organization that operates in more than 100 countries and helps more than 130 million people a year, okay, while also sharing a false gospel. That's my addition. Latter-day Saints Charities works with all of them. In fact, Callahan, this individual named Callahan, Sean Callahan, in fact, was in Salt Lake City on Monday to meet with Bishop Dean Davis of the presiding bishopric. He told the Deseret News the smaller Latter-day Saint Charities is crucial to Catholic Relief Services as they work together in places like South Sudan, Jordan, Nepal, Yemen, Myanmar, and the devastated areas ISIS has surrendered in its retreat in Iraq. It's not about size at all. It's about our mission, he said. We have the same mission of helping all God's children around the world. You catch that? Who are God's children around the world? Anybody that names the name of Jesus. Jesus said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at that day, and at that future point in time, that he's the Lord of all. And if a person doesn't belong to Jesus, if they've rejected the truth of Christ, they're not one of God's children. And we certainly hope and pray they will become that way. But to go around the world and help everybody with a social gospel like this and believe that you're helping God's children is a fallacy. And this is, of course, what they're doing. And you know, I say help them, but make sure you're presenting the true gospel to them. And don't assume that they're God's children just because they're religious or have a religion or whatever, you know, because there's one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, and that's clear in the New Testament. So anyway, I thought that I had to emphasize that. We have the same mission of helping all God's children around the world. Callahan said that together the two churches' charities foster positive change. I just came back from meeting with partners in the Middle East. I mentioned I was having this meeting in Salt Lake City. People said, really? You're meeting with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? And of course, this is a Catholic man, Sean Callahan. It's a fair question. The two churches have major differences on critical points of doctrine. For example, they don't recognize each other's baptisms as valid and disagree about the concept of the Trinity and original sin. But that actually presents an opportunity, according to Callahan. Working with other faith-based groups helps us model interfaith and intercultural cooperation in Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon. He said, people seeing us doing this together is as important as doing it. On and on, okay. You know, the point is, you're helping people in a humanitarian way. That's nice. But you're there supposedly representing God or Jesus Christ, but you're not representing the true gospel, the true Christ of Scripture, and therefore you're misleading people. And though you are aware of your differences, one has to wonder how long those disagreements will continue about the concept of the Trinity and original sin. To me, it's just amazing to see this taking place. As I say, mystical experience is one of the ways that people are coming together along with the social gospel thing and fighting, you know, and healing Mother Earth and all that. I have to believe that more and more there's going to be more compromise within these various faiths, you know, to where they can go in that direction of becoming a part of this one world harlot one day. I don't know all the details of how it's all going to work out, but I know that the bricks are being laid, the foundation is being laid. All right, let's move to another part of the article. The way we go about doing humanitarian work has to honor freedom of religion. As we do that, it sets an example to the world that it really is important. Freedom of religion and belief allows us to exercise our faith in a way that blesses others. And I'm thinking, my comment is, well, how can this bless others when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Who gets blessed? You know, you get blessed, what, because you have a dinner plate, you know? Anyway, Elder Dini Sisassi said Pope Francis and President Nelson modeled that civility during their meeting on Saturday. Parliament of World Religions have been talking about, and all these other groups, they all want to just come together and can't we all get along? And they can. And, you know, eventually they're going to get along so well that they're all going to be part, I believe, of the woman rides the beast. The beast is the Antichrist, and the woman is the harlot. And you read about it in the book of Revelation. It says there was a great feeling of brotherhood and love and respect, and that is beautiful to witness. He said something we can learn from in our association with people of other faiths. All right, let me move to getting closer to the end of this article. We've been very fortunate in the last few years to be in an excellent partnership with the Latter-day Saints, particularly around welcoming newcomers to the country. That includes refugees and at times immigrants, especially those seeking asylum. Religious liberty. Religious freedom is another key point of collaboration. Of course, this is coming from the Deseret newspaper, the Mormon paper. And of course, this is all good and wonderful and helpful. And you know, you have to understand that as I read all this, you know, please don't go, oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's great. See, the partnerships and helping the immigrants. And just remember that, and I think I've emphasized it enough, that these folks represent a false gospel. And, you know, what they're doing, they may mean well. I mean, anybody that joins a cult usually means well. But when you are trapped in a false religion and you're doing all these good works, one of the big motivations is you think those works are going to pay your way into heaven, and they won't. Because, you know, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2 that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. All our works are like filthy rags. So, you know, there's a place for God to work through us because we are his workmanship, as appointed unto good works. But it's not good works that save us, which these false cults and religions are all about. Religious freedom, another key point of collaboration. It's about the human dignity or worth of everyone, says Gary Doxey, Associate Director of Brigham Young University's International Center for Law and Religious Studies. Brigham Young, of course, is a Mormon college. It's the basis for religious freedom and the whole human rights regime. And it's also a doctrine that's quite important to the Catholic Church and to us. We are all children of God and equal in worth. Well, they may disagree on the Trinity and baptisms, but they are certainly in agreement that somehow they're all children of God. And of course, they're not. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." So anyway, you see the danger of accepting this mentality and how they are very comfortable accepting one another as children of God when they're all desperately in need of regeneration, spiritual regeneration at the hands of our Lord Jesus. And my comments are, is this the truth? John 1 says that to become children of God, you know, it's not through a false gospel, but that Christ gave us the authority to become the children of God through our new birth. John chapter 1, you know, tells us all about that. Okay, I think this is the last comments from this article. Charles Chaput spoke at BYU. He's the Archbishop of Philadelphia in 2015. He says, "I'm sure that my predecessors 30 years ago would be astonished that I'd be invited to Brigham Young University to speak to you," he said. They just wouldn't have thought it possible. We have reached a point of friendliness. I think we've kind of been forced to it by circumstances. If we don't hang together, we'll hang alone individually. And that's what happens oftentimes with cults, too. They join forces for their own, you know, to survive, for self-survival, you know, from persecution and everything else. Of course, if you represent the true gospel and Jesus Christ, you will certainly be persecuted. But there's also the persecution that comes to false religions. Well, as you see them coming together, as this guy says, if we don't hang together, we'll hang alone. Well, you know, the one world religion is going to be a very powerful entity for a time until the Antichrist tosses them off and is through with them. You know, you see that is what binds a lot of groups together, that the fact that, hey, if we hang alone, you know, if we don't hang together, we'll hang separately or individually if we don't hang together. And so let's come together and let's work together, and we're all God's children anyway. And you know, you see where that's going. At some point in time, the Mormons have no problem with getting rid of old beliefs. All they need is for their prophet to give them a new revelation and say, okay, we don't believe that anymore. So the differences on some of the things they have can certainly change when their prophet gives them, you know, their new marching orders. And of course, the Pope when he speaks ex cathedra, anything he says goes as well. So you see, it's a very unhealthy relationship here that can only lead to more deception, and you can see how they could continue to form these partnerships. Now, I would probably be wise to conclude at this point, in the interest of time. I have one more article here concerning this social gospel activity between Catholics, Mormons, and even Seventh-day Adventists. And this is an article I shared on a past podcast, and I'm not going to go into it except to give you the title of the article and whet your appetite a little bit, maybe, as we look at this. It's by Colleen Tinker, who she is an ex-Seventh-day Adventist herself. And as I say, the title of the article is Mormons, Catholics, and Adventists Collaborate. So I'll leave that with you. And with 2 minutes left, I'm going to sign off for the evening. I hope you'll join us next week as we continue to look at the move of towards a one-world religion, a one-world government, as we look at one world in deception. So please join us next week as we look at deception in the last days. God bless you all. Good night.